141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on yet another title win for Celtic. Brendan Rodgers' side smashed 5 past Kilmarnock to wrap up the league for the 12th time in 13 seasons. It's now on to the Scottish Cup final just around the corner as they look to complete their dominance while Rangers aim for a cup double. And it was a busy night in the Scottish Premiership with the battle to avoid the relegation playoffs going down to the final day. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yes, well, let's start by saying a huge congratulations to Brendan Rodgers and his Celtic side for getting over the line in what has been a thoroughly entertaining and competitive Premiership season. Brendan Rodgers came with huge interest from his own fans. Was it the right decision? And he stood and he made a comment on the steps of Celtic Park last June: I'll see you back here in May. And he has been true to his word. That takes huge courage and huge pressure on his shoulders to get it done, but he has. And like you say, all attention now goes to Trophy Day, and then after that, the Scottish Cup final still to come.
Yeah, echo that. Congratulations to Celtic. Another title win. And I thought they were excellent last night, I've got to say. And also, you look down the other games, a lot of good, important games, good goals. I thought Shanklin's goal was terrific, 30 of the season. Going forward to the Euros, absolutely brilliant. And you look down the bottom, how tight is that? St Johnstone go to Fir Park, Ross County, Aberdeen. It's still exciting.
Come on then, 01419511025. How many nights have we shared in here over the season, wondering and debating where the title would end up? And now we know. It's looked this way for a couple of weeks, certainly, maybe a couple of months. Celtic are champions. It's a familiar feeling for you Celtic fans. So how do you feel about this one? How do you look back on this? How does this compare to all the others? And of course, what about the style that you did it in? I suppose there's a case to say you saved your best performance of the season for last night. It was very convincing on the evening, and a tough place to go, Derek McInnes's side. Gordon, I really wish you wouldn't do this. Gordon Dale's like taking his clothes off, for want of a better expression, taking his jumper off, and he's asking me to just keep talking.
I was wanting you to stop there. That's why I coughed, so the camera would go back on us so we could see his belly.
Unprofessional, honestly.
I was too warm.
I was in full flow. I was just setting the scene.
I know. Next thing I could That's why I keep it going.
I got a waft of your BOs. I was trying to
tell you what he's not done, though.
He's not ironed that t-shirt.
Too late,
he's not.
Because he didn't think he was taking that jumper off. He forgot the TV cameras were on.
I ironed it with a lawnmower, I think. Anyway, 01419511025. To both sides, to the winning side and the losing side in the title race, how do you feel about it now? How do you look back on it? Celtic fans, where did it go right? Rangers fans, where did it go wrong? Celtic fans, how does this compare to the others? What's good about this one? What's special about this one? And what about that performance last night? Did you save your best performance of the season for the final push? I suspect the answer might be yes, but let us know on 01419511025. And big results everywhere else down the leagues. Not loads to play for, but particularly that relegation playoff spot. That's going to be exciting at the weekend. Let me set the tone then with these two. What was your result of the night, Mark? I think an easy one to start.
Yep, for me, easy one. I'm going to go to Rugby Park, where I think you just touched on that there, Gordon. Probably Celtic saved their best performance for when they really needed it to go over the line. And sometimes it can be difficult getting over the line. Sometimes it's full of tension, apprehension on those evenings. But Celtic were simply fantastic, scored 5 great goals. That was my result and performance of the evening.
Yeah, hard to argue with, but I'll go for Hibs. I think a Hibs team that sacked their manager, David Gray, caretaker, against a Motherwell team that finished, what, 3rd with the most goals in the league. Terrific record. They needed a big result. So 3-0, and it was a comfortable 3-0. So I'll take Hibs tonight.
Okay, goal of the night. You had some good choices.
Oh, some brilliant choices. I hope I've not spoiled Mark's, have I?
Who are you going for?
Well, I said Shankland earlier, but my goal of the night is O'Reilly's. I think he's been different class lately. I think the fact that Hatate and McGregor are both back in that middle of that park really helps him. And his finish last night was brilliant. So, Matt O'Reilly for me.
Listen, that's a good shout. I think Shanklin's a good shout. I'm going to go for an old favourite of mine's Dander. I think Dander's goal. I do love Dander. I know, but I thought it was great. Great technique. Gets out his feet. You know, didn't go to place it. Just power right into the roof of the net.
Hard done by Warren Shankland, I think. But
Shankland was tremendous and all. The other two were good.
Howler of the night. Who's getting it?
I'm going to go. I'll go first.
Cool, go.
I'm going to go for Ross County. What? I mean, they're in stoppage time. They are safe. And then when you look at the goal, they concede a simple throw-in back to Graham Carey on his left foot. You know it's coming in. A big high-looking ball. The defender doesn't track his man. And St Johnson get the equaliser to allow it to go to the last day to decide that playoff place. Don Cowie must have been fuming.
Your howler of the night, Gordon Dalziel.
The penalty kick given against Motherwell, Stephen O'Donnell. I can't remember who the referee was, but I know that we've had a lot of decisions with handball this season that people have really wondered what it's all about. I have no idea how that's a penalty kick for me. I don't know what he's supposed to do with his hands. He had no idea what was happening. They were down by his side, and for some reason, it wouldn't have mattered because Hibs ran out, were the winners. That's why they got my best of the night. But I've got to say, that was a terrible decision for me.
And top man, top performer?
I'll let Mark go first.
Celtic manager, for me, has to take great credit for how he's managed the team. But even last night, where the team has to go over the line, you think, I'll just be the same again, put it the same team. Change Kyogo for Ida. A big call, and by the way, striker repaid him, so a big managerial decision. He deserves all the plaudits.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Celtic because I think because last night champions, the way they went about it, they deserve all the praise in the world. Ida, I thought first half was sensational. I think that Mark right to point.
Ida, good shout.
I thought he was terrific, Gordon. Because he was obviously...
He was the only change, wasn't he?
He got the nod over the favourite, Kyogo. But
five million, terrific.
There we go again, I don't know. I think Mark makes a great point. It was a fantastic decision by Brendan Rodgers, you've got to say. So I'll tell you what, I was going to go either him or O'Reilly, because I think O'Reilly's been brilliant, but I'll give it to Ida. There you are.
There we are. 01419511025. That is the number you need, so come on down, please. Get your calls in. This is the night we look back on the title race officially being declared over. I know it looked like that way since the weekend, but it is official, and in quite emphatic style from Brendan Rodgers' side as well. What did you make of the performance on the night, and what do you make overall? Let's go through it all together. Look back on a long season, Mark Wilson, with many ups and downs and twists and turns.
Well, certainly, you think back to the Ross County game where it all started at home. Seems an awful long time ago. And the way Celtic, the outcome of that game sort of summed up Celtic's season. You know, they looked in control, they played some nice football, but a bit of fragility at the back. And conceding late goals, and we weren't to know at that time that that was going to be a sign of things to come. There was some good performance in there, there was some eye-catching, there was some high-scoring ones, I'm thinking 6 against Aberdeen, 7 against Dundee, but then there was also the struggles, the 0-0s at home against St Johnson, you know, Hearts taking so many points off them, that big disappointments. But then in some of the big games, you think of the last-minute winners as well, away at Easter Road, Ida, a January signing, really stepping up to the mark, scoring a couple there. Fir Park, where Ida comes on at half time, another big decision from the Celtic manager on that occasion to take Kyogo off at half time. And you think, would you take your talisman off at that time? Well, he did, and it worked. And that was another big moment in February. And then you go along, the games against Rangers are huge, of course. But then when it comes to the split, it's who can manage the pressure, the expectation, who can get players back fit, and who can get the ones who maybe haven't contributed in the first half of the season to come to the fore at the end. Guys like James Forrest. Celtic managed that, and they signed off in style last night. So it's been a long old season, many twists and turns, but they got it right at the right time, and that's what counts.
I look at Celtic's season, and I go back to when it looked like the league was comfortable, Gordon. Clement came in, changed that. January Celtic come in for a bit of criticism. I think they showed a lot of character, and I thought last night they actually finished the league in style.
Ross is on the line. Ross, how do you sum up this title win?
It's been emotional, Gordon, for a start. But hi, Gordon, Mark. Gordon, hope you're all well.
Good, thank you. Good.
I'm on tonight to obviously praise Brendan Rodgers for a start. I was one of the Celtic fans where I didn't really want Rodgers back in the club. And last night, he's just basically proved me and every other negative Celtic fan that the reason why he's came back and why he's here. So I think it's appreciation to him, first of all. And I think it's now time that us negative Celtic fans just bury the hatchet and just accept the guy for what he is. And do you know what? I'm actually probably glad he has came back, because he's came back and done exactly what he said he was going to do.
Well, Mark, there was a sort of symbolism attached to last night. Let's be honest, football fans can be fickle, and you can get behind guys when they win you things. It's a bit easier. But Brendan Rodgers stood outside Celtic Park and said, "I'll see you back here in May." And of course he did. And then he went back last night. He pointed out there was 200 people there the first time. There were thousands there last night. The full stand was singing his name. So it does feel like, if there are any doubters left, that they're in a minority now, certainly a small minority.
I would think so. And you think, you know, the pressure on your shoulders when you come out with a statement like that, like Brendan Rodgers did. And that's what makes him such a big manager. That he understood his qualities. He understood what he had in the building at Celtic Park when he walked through the door, and he believed in himself. And in a day and age where everything becomes a meme, you know, on social media, if you're wrong, that's hanging over his head the full season. And you can see different interviews as well. He was a bit bristly at times, even when you see him, you know, at Fir Park, where he says, "We'll write our own history," because he thought there was a narrative about Rangers. Again, he's putting his neck out there. And if this failure, then he's made a laughing stock. But again, he believed. And that kind of, you know, translated into the Celtic fans. And it all kind of culminated in that crowd, that atmosphere against Hearts. It almost looked like everybody was then convinced at that point that he was the right man. Now, it's took an awful long time, I think, to convince some of the doubters or the guys like Ross who didn't want him back. But he's got there in the end. He's got there in the end by winning. And winning the big games, that's the crucial thing. See, if you win against Rangers, you're always on the right track. And then to follow the Hearts game up with a Rangers win, you know, he's always going to be a hero. And to seal it off like last night in the performance, it just gives, I think, those even doubting Celtic fans hope that the football will be more complete and better to watch next season than it was in periods this season.
Was that the best performance of the season last night, Ross, at a difficult venue as well?
Yeah, going into last night, Gordon, I think the fact that Kelly had already beaten us twice this season there, I was a bit apprehensive to start with, but to come out last night with a clean sheet and five goals just speaks volumes of where this Celtic squad are. And I think last night for me, it was probably the best performance of the season. But for me, Matt O'Reilly last night just basically proved, showed Celtic fans the reason why he's player of the year. And my concern now is that we're going to lose Matt in the summer, which I really hope we don't. But I think for me, Celtic kick on with the same squad and we try and keep the players that we have and just touch maybe one or two up in the summer, I can see us kicking on to go and do another three or four titles in a row.
I was joking last night saying if you're a Celtic fan, maybe you think, hold on a second, we've probably won the title anyway, so Matt O'Reilly, do you fancy being a bit worse? Don't go and do that. Don't stop drawing attention to yourself when we'd like you to be here next season. Obviously, slightly tongue-in-cheek and you get good money from anyway, but he finished the season on a real high, hasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly has. And I go back to what I said earlier. I think the introduction back into the middle of the park with Hatate and a fit McGregor certainly helps, because that's our engine room. That's our three. They're the best midfield in Scotland by far, the way they play. And I think O'Reilly, you know, he bounces off of Hatate and McGregor. And I think looking at his performance last night, he's a very, very talented player. Unfortunate for Celtic, he is that good a player that, of course, there's other teams sitting monitoring what's happening with O'Reilly. There'll be bids put in for him, of course he will in the summer. Will he be at Celtic? I'm not too sure. And that's a compliment to him because of the sort of player he is, because there's bigger leagues and bigger money to be made out there. And Matt O'Reilly has been terrific for Celtic. He may stay, Gordon, and for every Celtic fan, they're probably hoping that's the case. But look, we said that last year about the manager Postecoglou, and he ended up going to Tottenham because of the lure of the big, the clubs and the big Premier League and everything to go with it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the summer.
Was it as simple as that, Mark? Was that Celtic's best performance last night? Brendan Rodgers has spoken about sprinting over the line, and they went into last night, a point would have been enough. There was still that feeling that even if Killie could keep this run up against Celtic, well, chances are you're going to get something from a home game against St Mirren. So it never looked in serious doubt, but they looked like they really wanted the job done in a hurry, didn't they?
Well, they did. They looked fresh, and they looked like they enjoyed themselves. They didn't look like there was any pressure on their shoulders, and I know for a fact there would have been, you know, going out onto that pitch, knowing what's gone on before at that venue, and the thought of maybe it lingering to the last day, everybody would have wanted to avoid that. But they played with freedom and scored some great goals. And I would probably say, yeah, I think back to the Dundee game at home, I was there, witnessed that. They were sensational that game. But when you put it into context of Rugby Park, who they're up against and Derek McInnes' side and the pressure, I would say that was the best one.
Thanks, Ross, for his time. What about Alexander, who's on the line? How does this one feel, Alexander? You've won a fair few in recent seasons. What was good about this one?
Good evening.
Hello.
Nice to speak. I'm very happy. I'm just delighted this year. Every year delighted. But this one was really, I don't know, for some reason it just felt more important. There was just something different about it. I think the reason why, and I think sometimes it was actually not justified. I think sometimes there was pressure put on when we went through a wee sort of stale patch where we weren't playing great football. But I actually think that was over-dramatic. And people even still are saying, we didn't play the great, we've not got the greatest teams. But I think we've played brilliant this year. The important games, we shined. The last games of the season, we shined. I think the wee dry spell, you know, I think it was a bit over-dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to know now if is that hindsight on Alexander's behalf or is that the case? You know, did it go?
I think if you even look at the tables, should Celtic and Rangers win their last game, Rangers will be 5 points worse off and Celtic will be 6 points worse off than last season. But if you can remember last season, the last few games, even the cup final, Celtic weren't playing great and they lost to Hibs, they lost 3-0 to Rangers. So for Brendan Rodgers, I think it's just a huge credit for him. He's remained calm in all the important games. The last games of the season, when it's the real business end, he's remained calm. He's sort of stayed focused when all the media were jumping on his back. And I just think anybody who condemned Brendan Rodgers before, and I was probably one of them, I think he's won us over. And I think everybody should take that, every Celtic fan. He's won us over. He's done the business.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But he called this end of the season. Yeah. Bang on, didn't he? Spoke about this is when Celtic get their trophy heads on and this is when Celtic, you know, flourish at the end of a season. This kind of see you back here in May stuff is longer term. Celtic were favourites at that point for the league and they went on to win it. But particularly that home straight is when it never really looked in doubt, did it?
Alexander talks about the pressure. Look, there was times that we were getting inundated with calls about the way Celtic played and at times it wasn't a great watch. I think the pressure came from Rangers. I think when Clement came into the building, everybody before that, under Michael Beale, was thinking it was just a case of how many points Celtic are going to win this league. But Clement came in, he got a tune out of Rangers, all of a sudden that gap got closed, January window came, Celtic fans weren't happy with the spending. I don't think Brendan Rodgers was particularly happy. But I get back to this appointment of Brendan Rodgers, this is where it counted. His experience, how good a manager he is, everything kicked in because he's a winner and he knows how to win. He knows how to get the best out of his players. He was confident. He came out and said that. And as much as Brendan Rodgers takes a lot of credit, Gordon, I think that the board of Celtic have got to take a lot of credit because they knew that there was a lot of fans out there against Brendan Rodgers coming back to the club, without a shadow of doubt. But when Postecoglou left, they looked at the situation. They knew what they needed. They went out and they knew that they weren't going to be flavour of the month, appointing Brendan Rodgers, and look at it now. He's turned it completely around. And it's not just Brendan Rodgers, the team, the staff and everybody concerned. I think sometimes the board comes in for so much criticism from the supporters. Well, It was them that brought Brendan Rodgers back.
Thank you very much to Alexander. Well, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers along with more of your calls after these.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here on the usual number. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. Before the break, the theme generally was how some people didn't want him back, and now he's back, and is that everything rosy? With the title in the bag, he hopes that the bond he has with supporters is a sign of things to come.
Well, hopefully it can get to that, but I have to earn that. And as I said, nights like tonight, performances like that, winning titles, that of course pulls that bond back close again. So hopefully, listen, there may be some guys, which I respect, that may never understand and may never turn, but I'll cope with that the best I can. In the meantime, I'll prepare this team to win and build this club and to be successful, and nights like tonight play a great part in everyone connecting again.
Declan's a Celtic fan in Erskine. How's it going, Declan?
I'm very well, guys. How are you?
No complaints from us. What are you thinking tonight then?
Listen, I was on your show. You guys were kind enough to have me on your show. It was round about the time that Celtic were 7 or 8 points clear. Michael Beale was in charge at the time, so I can't remember. Probably end of last year or something. And my point back then was, if Celtic or Rangers won the championship, the Premier League, then it's potentially worth about $60 million to the winner. The Champions League money. Now Celtic winning the Premier League, we had $77 million, I think, in the bank, and we're going to have just even more than that. And I know there's a rebuild at Celtic Park because we need to replace Big Joe, and we obviously need to strengthen it in other areas. But I'm hearing about the Rangers rebuild, and Mark, what I'd like to ask Mark and Gordon is, where's the money going to come from? Because in the last set of accounts, Rangers made a loss again, and they've made a loss since 2012. I think the last set of accounts showed that they've lost £111 million. So where's the money going to come from for the rebuild for Rangers? Because Rangers really need to rebuild much more than Celtic do. That's my point, guys.
Again, yeah, but obviously the difference between the two is going to be astronomical on the back of this Champions League money. Rangers will be hoping, if it's Lundstrom and Roof, I think they're amongst the highest earners. You don't know what happens with Tavernier and Goldson. They would be amongst the highest earners. You start freeing up wages that way. I don't know what that means for transfer fees, obviously. But I think where Declan's right is, for the last few years, this is kind of what was getting at in the first part of the show, is what's important about this title. You know, they're all important in their own ways. For a while, the obsession was Celtic trying to get to 10. So the season Celtic were going for 10 is, this is the most important one in a generation. And then Rangers won it. And then it became really important for Celtic because, well, they had to get it back. And then we got the coefficient to a place where there was an automatic Champions League place. So people said, this is the most important title for decades because we've got an automatic Champions League place. And now, as Declan points out, it's, this is the most important title because the Champions League money's gone up. So that's the reality of it. Celtic have banked an absolute fortune. Can they spend it wisely?
Well, they have, and that is the big question. So obviously the reformed Champions League brings more revenue, more money in the bank. But it depends on how you distribute that to your manager. How much do you allow him to go and spend? What's his ideas? How much do you back him? And for what purpose? To win the league only? To win a treble? Or to compete in the European stage? And I think every Celtic fan would be hoping it would be in all those fronts to try and compete, build the strongest squad, but with real quality in there. But it's hard to get that. And for the Rangers side, well, it's the opposite. They might not have the finances, but they still have to shop smart. You know, you don't have to spend £6 million to guarantee quality. You only have to look at the Celtic squad to see if Rangers can spend a £1.5 million on someone like Matt O'Reilly. Then it makes all the difference if you get the quality on the pitch and you get a manager who plays a system that suits his side. So although Rangers, you know, bank balance will be, you know, diminished from what Celtic's is, and there'll be a vast gap in it, It's all about who you pick in the transfer window and how your recruitment team is. And that's going to be huge. But no doubt Celtic are in a really strong position. And Celtic fans would like, they would like to see it for years, just the boat pushed out a bit when it comes to big transfers.
It's going to be a big summer for both. Because Brendan Rodgers now is probably, and he's got a cup final coming up. If he goes and wins that, a double, he's in a very strong position of what he wants and what he needs. The Celtic board have come under a little bit of criticism, especially in January. And the last one, the summer transfer window, was not the greatest. They spent a lot of money. And you look at it and you say, well, was it money well spent? No, it wasn't. I think that sometimes you've got to, I don't know exactly what's in the accounts of Celtic and Rangers, and I don't think anybody does. We can all speculate on the money that's come in. But you've still got to remember that.
Don't need to speculate. Right, they publish their accounts, you can see it.
Yeah, but you've still got to remember that there's outgoing there as well. Celtic have got a massive squad and big, big wages. You know, there's a lot of things that have to take into consideration. It'll be interesting to see what type of player Brendan Rodgers goes for in the market. You know, Mark's right. You can go and get a 1.5 Matt O'Reilly and turn him into what he is just now, probably worth a lot of money. Whereas another end, you can go and spend 7, 8, 9 million. We've seen it before. And all of a sudden, it doesn't work for you. The recruitment is so, so important, of getting the right personnel at the right price that you can, like Brendan Rodgers is trying to do, you know, add value to that player, because that's the way Celtic go about their business.
Declan, how does this one feel in terms of, is it, can it be a bit sweeter when there have been some doubts or a bit of adversity? I mean, it's relative adversity, I suppose, compared to some clubs, but when it isn't as certain, does it sometimes feel sweeter when you do get it over the line?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the game of the weekend, last weekend, in the derby, it was so tense. Because you're leading 2-0 and you're thinking it's over. Then you obviously 2-1, you miss the penalty and you're thinking, oh my God. Because anything can happen. You know, anything can happen. So is it sweeter? You know, absolutely. But I have got a wee idea for, I've got a sort of idea where Rangers can raise some money, if the panel want to hear my idea on this.
If that's at the forefront of your mind tonight,
this is going to be good.
I am so interested.
This is like the Dragon's Den.
There was me naïvely thinking you'd be on to celebrate Celtic winning guys, the title, but
here's your idea.
Guys, you're going to like this. I'm sure you like it. We need a goalkeeper.
So, oh, I know where this is going now.
A wee cheeky bid.
We need a goalkeeper. So, I mean, if Rangers are willing to, look at some offers, then I'm sure we've got a few quid we can.
Oh, can you imagine?
That's a great shoot, Declan.
Rethink, can you see it? Oh. Imagine the phone lines.
Oh. Well, one or two have done it before, haven't
they? Is that giving it your seal of approval? Oh. You think Celtic should try?
100%.
Cost you a few quid, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be a bit overinflated, the price that Rangers would ask.
Let's start with 100 million.
Exactly. See that 60 million you have got? We'll start there and see where we end up. Now, listen, Butland is a good goalkeeper. And I've no doubt, you know, take away the strip that he wears, Celtic fans, I think, would love to have him in their side.
I thought Declan was going to say he would buy Dessers. I was a bit upset.
It's a good suggestion, Declan. It's as good as any. Thank you. 01419511025. Let's hear what Brendan Rodgers thought of that performance last night. He's praising the players for handling the pressure, and he says winning another title for Celtic has been a dream of his for a long time.
I think it's firstly the performance of the team was amazing, and so proud of the, you know, how they dealt with pressure over the last few months. And how they stepped up, and tonight against a Kilmarnock team that has been coached so well and so organised, to play the game to that level like we did, tactically, speed, everything I'd want in the team. You know, I've always had speed, creativity, unpredictability, power. We were so good in the game, and it was a joy to watch. So to make us champions, I feel really proud. I would have probably dreaming of that moment over the period of time I was away, and hoping that it would happen again. So it's a really good feeling.
What did you like about the performance last night?
Well, look, everything he says, and from the first minute, I thought they mixed the play up as well, and that's why Ida was in the side, and Kilmarnock really struggled to deal with that physical presence. But and when you look at it, you look at the runners that Celtic had, how quick they moved the ball, and just the creativity in the final third. You look at the structure of the Celtic side, and you know how they've always got the players in the right areas and running off the back of opponents. You've seen it last week at Celtic Park, Rangers just switching off, and Celtic always had runners in behind. It was the same last night, and it's all by design. That's the beauty of watching the Celtic side in full flow, that everybody knows their role, everyone knows what's expected. When it comes off, you get results like you did last night.
Especially those early goals, Gordon, where they were almost identical, and it was like that free flow. And I know it's always been the easy comparison to make, but the type of goal we saw regularly last season, where a midfielder gets it, there's that run either from another midfielder or from a fullback, and it gets slipped in and then fired across, and somebody taps it in. You just, it was, what was that? The first three goals were all like that.
Yeah.
Last night, and then especially the one where Maeda gives it to the other winger in James Forrest to do it. It felt like everything sort of clicked.
Yeah, there are real sharpness about it. They tweaked it a little bit. They got the ball quickly to Ida, and then the midfield and the wide men just worked off of him. He was pivotal last night. He was brilliant, I've got to say. Early on, he caused Kilmarnock so many problems. And when you're a midfield player and you know your centre forward's going to come, hold it up and bring you into play, all of a sudden, those runs are easy to make. The wingers then know the timing's important. You look at Forrest in one wing, Maeda in the other. Timing, the full-backs were having an absolute shocker at that time, didn't know what to do, and the weight of the passes, everything about the tempo. I think Brendan Rodgers talks about it there. Everything seemed to click. It just looked like Celtic, they went down there with a purpose, and they went down there saying, do you know what, we could have won the league last night if Rangers had dropped anything. We don't need to depend on that. This is the one that everybody says is a difficult place to go. If we're going to be champions, we have to do it in style. And you've got to give them credit. I thought they were brilliant last night.
Yeah, let's bring in James in Port Glasgow. James, how does this title win feel?
Very good, to be honest with you guys. Last night I was a bit nervous. I thought, as long as we get a draw, I don't care, because there's a jackpot at the end of the road. Mm-hmm. My wee point is this one. Last night's victory was worth 110 million. Correct. 110 million.
As much as that?
60 for the Champions League. 30 million for season tickets, and because it's an 8-league Champions League, it's another 30 million. And top of the 73 million we've got, we're cash rich, 173 million. My question is, if Celtic get a bid in next week for Matt O'Reilly for 25 million, we don't have to sell him because we've got money. I would ask Matt to stay on for another year. What do you think would happen if a bid does come in? Do you think he would stay on for another year? Because we don't need the money. We've got enough today, isn't it?
I'm not sure about the initial sums, because like Celtic get that season ticket money, and anyway, they don't only get the season ticket money because they won, because they won the title. I think the Champions League money, it sounds like James is inflating it slightly. I was reading the thread by the always excellent Scotland's coefficient on Twitter. It tends to break these things down. And look, it can vary, obviously, depending where Celtic finish, anywhere from sort of 30 to 60 million. That's like you're guaranteed, and that's before your ticket sales, though. So that's where people have been coming up with the kind of £60 million figure. Anyway, Celtic have loads of money. Let's not split hairs on exactly how much it would be, because it's difficult to predict exactly. The crux of James's point is, turn down a £25 million bid for Matt O'Reilly if it comes.
They're in a situation where they would like to, but I think that if you're a club and you bring Matt O'Reilly in at £1.5 million, you're probably saying to him as well, look, you know, you're here for a few years. If you keep progressing, you keep working the way you are, development, the player that we know you're going to be, other clubs, big clubs are going to come calling. And I know the argument, Celtic's a big club, but it's different leagues. And, you know, you look at Atletico Madrid, who wouldn't, as a professional footballer, want to go to play with Atletico Madrid, Gordon?
But see, just going to put it back to James. See, just because you have money, does that mean you stop making good business decisions? Because ultimately, signing Matt O'Reilly for £1.5 million, having him win a number of trophies, and then moving him on hypothetically for £25 million is a really, really excellent business decision. Do you just stop making good decisions because you've got money?
No. What happens is, It's a gamble. You can buy somebody really for 1.5. He turns out to be no bother. He doesn't make anything there. You can buy somebody that's £10 million. He's a flop. Simple as that. My whole point is, we need a complete new defence after this season. And I'll tell you where it starts. We need two goalkeepers. No one. We need two. We need to cover the right back position for Johnson, and we need a new left back. We also need two centre halves, and I'll tell you why we need two centre halves. We want to have the standard of Carter Vickers are close to it. So if one gets injured, there's other two top players ready to step in. That's going to cost a pretty penny. But that's where I see it. We have to buy six new people at the back. Two goalkeepers. Now, I don't know who will take the number one role or who will take number two, but we've got to have two quality goalkeepers fighting over that one position. The fullbacks, as I say, are no very big. I've always flagged Taylor. We've got to buy better than Craig Taylor. Alistair Johnson's very good, but I think if we could get somebody better than him or the quality of him, that helps us if there's any more players been hurt.
I think the Celtic board need to get James in. He's get the numbers figured out. He's get the recruitment very quickly, Mark, because we're running out of time. What do you make of the general suggestions?
Well, I agree with you, Gordon. I don't think Celtic are going to change their player trading model just because they've got money. They'll keep it the same. And it must be one of the only countries and fan bases that does this, that the day after Celtic won the league, it's like, no, that I'm not good enough. Let's rip this up and get in six new players.
Can't stand still.
Of course you can't. But you can't just bin players less than 24 hours. After they've just won the title.
Not got their medals yet.
Exactly. Calm down, James.
Anyway,
let them get their medals first before you see them at the door.
We will leave it there because this is an incredible prize we've got for you. I know you might think, oh, you're bound to say that, but genuinely, when you hear the details of this, this is going to interest a lot of you. And the uptake has been very impressive so far. You'll have heard, I'm sure, next weekend, Scottish Cup final at Hampden. Celtic going for a League and Cup double. Rangers looking for a cup double. You could be there. These are the hottest tickets in town. We've got VIP tickets for the Celtic end, and we've got VIP tickets for the Rangers end. Both silver debenture tickets, so some of the best seats in the house, lounge access in the main stand, and all you need to do is enter a raffle. All the money goes to Cash for Kids, and you could walk away with some of the hottest tickets of the year whilst helping disadvantaged children. I call it the ultimate win-win, because it really is. If you want to win the Celtic tickets, you text Celtic to 84901. To win the Rangers tickets, it's Rangers to 84901. The text costs a standard network rate message plus a voluntary £10 donation. Every penny of that £10 goes right back to Cash for Kids, children who need your help. You've given your tenner to charity, you've done your bit for the local society, and you might get the tickets as well. Talk about a win-win. Lines close 8 p.m. Wednesday 22nd of May. Over 18s only. T's and C's at Clyde1.com. And a reminder, if you want the Rangers tickets, it's text Rangers to 84901. And to win the Celtic tickets, it's Celtic to 84901.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. You can call and you can tweet. I believe there were one or two difficulties with the live stream on YouTube at the start, but hopefully all fixed. They must be, in fact, because Mr. RFK has tweeted to say, my God, that's some tan Daza has. He must have had the crisp and dry on today. Can't wait to see his colour next week. Oh, and by the way, on another note, champions again. Ole, ole, never in doubt. A Celtic fan.
The weather's been excellent. I've got to say, and sitting out the back.
Honestly, since Tuesday, I have to say, inundated with tweets from fans of yours. Loving that video you did at the petrol station in Italy with the orange hat on. So many people really, really enjoyed. Listen,
I thought you were going full throttle today.
I couldn't believe it.
Can a guy not have hobbies anymore? Seriously,
I couldn't believe it.
Leave you be.
It must be burning in there.
Honestly,
oh, it's some size of hose. I was trying to get
there. It's a sad day when a guy can't have hobbies, isn't it? Anyway, let's bring in Craig, who is a Rangers fan on the line. Right, Craig, is this where we know the first part of the show has been Celtic fans? This is where I'm just duty bound to ask you how you're feeling about it.
Is that you taking that petrol, is it?
What was that, Craig?
Could you two be quiet? This is the therapy bit, remember?
Try to cheer him up.
A wee bit of pardon after that noise.
Craig's had a tough week.
Honestly, Stephen Gordon said the YouTube comments were doing. I was hoping they were going to stay down so I don't get slibbing. But no, listen, I thought I had to phone in because, I mean, this will be, I'm not going to say the word, but this will be like a good time for the Celtic fans listening to this. I'll be like, oh, raging me, you know, whatever. I nearly said that, I didn't say it, but, you know. I was saying to producers there, who, by the way, for some reason, I thought his name was Gus. I don't know why that happened, but.
It's been called worse.
Yeah.
I know. But no, I was saying to him, listen, I know Gordon Dale, and this is probably going to bring a smile to Mark's face, but see next season for me, you know, after the season, I'm 38 in a couple of weeks, and the reason I'm calling in tonight is I'm going on holiday and I'm going to miss a cup final, thank God. But it's getting to the point it's a chore, and I said about the Union Bears like leaving on the 90th minute the other night there, and to me that was a wee bit of a dig at the players and stuff like that, doing their, you know, lap on or after, you know, whatever. But for me, next season's massive because, listen, I mean, everything I've been through since following Rangers, I don't go in for, like, this is going to sound a wee bit conflicting what I'm about to say here, but, you know, Celtic winning 9-0 twice and this, that and the other, never really bothered me. But see if Celtic win the next two league titles and overtake Rangers in terms of, like, this 55 and all this stuff. For me, and I was saying to Gus, I'll call him Gus, I know his name's Chris, but the producer. I was saying to him, back in like 2014, you know, there was the stuff with the Easdales, and it was like, oh, do you support, do you boycott, because of that stuff that was going on. And I stuck with the team, you know, through the lower leagues, and I'm not saying I'm some kind of, you know, super fan or uber staunch, because I've done that, it's just what you do. But, you know, the closer I get to 40, and I know that's going to give Gordon a bit of a smell, because I think he's like close to collecting his pension, but
No, you're right, Craig.
The closer I get to 40, I'm like, is it worth it anymore? And as I say, I know this is going to, in your YouTube comments, it's going to say, oh, I'm getting up in his team, but for me, you know, if Celtic won 10 in a row a couple of years ago, it would have been never heard the end of it. And I think, you know, Clermont needs a big summer, as we all know, but for me, if Celtic go on and win the next, not even trebles, just like the next two league titles, it's going to be, and yes, of course, Rangers can claw it back in years when we're all gone, of course they can, but it would be an absolute living nightmare. And again, I'll get ridiculed from my own fans for saying that, but at that point, it's like, you know, it's just, when's enough, you know, in terms of...
How close are you to that point? What do you mean, you know, what does that look like? You're not going to chuck it, are you?
Well, I mean, I've had a season ticket. I kept it going through the what they call the banter years, you know, in the YouTube and that, this, that and the other. But I wouldn't ever give up, but I think I would just get to the point where, you know, I'd maybe probably pick and choose the games. And I think for me, it's just getting to the point now of, it's, you know, if we didn't win the league this season, you know, in December, I think most people would have said Rangers were, you know, odds-on favourites to go on if that had continued. But surprise, surprise, you know, the bottle crashed again. And listen, I'll be the first to come on, you know, if we have a fantastic start to the season. And a fair few aren't there. I know it's a bit of a cliche to name the likes of Goldson, Tavernier, because, you know, particularly Tav, his offensive numbers are fantastic. But I think the three of you would agree he's cost Rangers a lot of times. But where would Rangers be without James Tavernier? But at the same time, like I said when I was speaking to Andy last time I was on, they kind of keep doing a rebuild every 12 months. And for one, we've not got the money to do that. And no team in the world rebuilds every summer. And, you know, there's this narrative. Again, I'll probably get shot down in flames by my mates for saying this. And they'll say, oh, he's not a Rangers fan, he's a closet Celtic fan. But there's this sneaking narrative about Rangers becoming the Dortmund of Scotland sneaking in. And for me, that's, like I say, I'm 38, you know. Sorry, I'm going on and here, and there's probably Celtic fans.
I told you this was the therapy bit. Don't worry, just you. We're here for you.
No, we finished at 8, but feel. Keep going, like 8 o'clock, we finished.
I tell you what, we are actually approaching Beat the Pundit time now that I look at the clock. But I'll try and summarise, because the bit that jumps out, Craig's thinking, is it worth it? You know, there's a Rangers fans like Craig are this summer going, Where do we go from here? Is it another rebuild? And maybe Philippe Clement is the man, and maybe once he gets his own players, great. But they're saying he fell short again, and Celtic have now got all this money. And how do we get back?
Yeah, you say, is it another rebuild? 100% it is, yeah. It's a massive clear out. I think Craig's realistic when he says, look, we don't know where the money's coming from and whatever. I don't know if it would change. I don't think Craig's alone here. I think Rangers fans are a bit sort of a down, especially after watching Celtic last night, being so close, thinking at one point, oh, we've got it in our own hands. Look at us, we could win a treble. It's all fell flat. You just wonder if, you know, a few fans' minds will be changed if they can get to Scottish Cup final, win that, finish the season at least on a high, a double, two trophies. Yes, the most important ones in the league. I totally take that on board. But without doubt, the manager is a massive job in the summer.
I like Craig's bravery because Craig has come on here. He's laid out his sadness for everyone to hear. He knows that it will be celebrated in one half of the city, and he's brave enough to put up with that. Thank you very much to Craig. Any other Rangers fans who want to have a think about where it went wrong and where you go from here, let's do it, but we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. The Scottish Premiership title race might be over, but there are still prizes to be won on Beat the Pundit. You have to call before 7 o'clock on 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson on the line for you. 01419511025. That's the number you need. You can tweet at Clyde SSB. We're going to take more calls, I'm sure, on Celtic's title win last night. Just before the break, we got round to the other side of the rivalry, and how does it feel, Rangers fans, to know that it's certain? I think you had resigned yourself to the fact anyway. What happens now? How do you finish the season? Where do you go from here? All that stuff. Get the calls in on 0141 951 1025, and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. What are you chuckling at? What can be funny already? We've not even started.
Nah, just something he said to me just before the mics got put back up. Thank goodness the mics were done.
I think I heard it. It was disturbing in the morning. It was disturbing, I have to say. Good news for you though, Gordon Dalziel.
Yes.
Without kicking a ball, as the football cliche goes, you are no longer second bottom.
Oh, who's taking that mantle?
Jim Duffy lost last night, and that means he goes below you. So third bottom now, that's good. You happy with that?
Yeah, I'm climbing the ladder.
Mark, you're
the relegation zone, that's good.
You're still in that
race for European.
Race for spot. Best of the rest.
Yeah. I'm happy with that.
Who's involved in that, him and Hugh?
You said, I think, that sort of bracket.
I'll top the train. It's between us three.
I've played 36 games.
Running out of time. I like this. I'm not sure we've had many St Johnston fans on the phones for Beat the Pundit this season. How are you, Lewis?
Yeah, not bad, thanks yourself.
I see right through this, Lewis. Football is giving you no joy at the moment, so you're trying to find it on Beat the Pundit.
Exactly that. Exactly.
I don't blame you.
I thought Craig was sad before.
I know.
Lewis, you must be worse.
Craig, the sad Rangers fan, and Lewis, the sad St Johnston fan. I'm going to give them each other's number.
You've got to give Lewis a ball. He obviously doesn't see much of it on a Saturday watching St Johnston.
Poor guy's on to have a bit of fun, lighten the mood, and you're just sticking the boot in.
Oh, yeah, anyway. Do you actually go to the games, Lewis?
Now and again, not too many, yeah.
Have you put your name down for a plot in the 18-yard box when the new owners come in?
It'll cost a few quid, I think.
Anyway, let's St Johnston, the lowest scorers in the league. Let's hope Lewis is not the lowest scorer tonight. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it'll be Gordon Dalziel. We'll talk football with Lewis in a second, I'm sure. It is Tails. Shoot again. Some amount of games this season.
Oh, I'm tired.
Keep wheeling you.
I'm tired, mate. Lewis, I really hope you win. MD support St Johnston deserves a ball, yeah. I really hope he wins.
Right. Put Gordon Dalziel away from us, so to speak. Give him something else to listen to. And that way, Lewis, he can't hear. Mark Wilson, check he's got his headphones on, right? I'm just starting to get a bit suspicious of him.
Got your headphones on now?
Is he looking okay? Yeah, I think he's
big fine. Nose.
Lewis, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, your time starts now. Adam Ida's on loan from which club?
Norwich.
Which club do Kenny Miller and Graham Shinney have in common?
Pass.
How many league titles has Brendan Rodgers won with Celtic?
Four.
Who did Rangers play in their first Scottish Cup tie this season?
Pass.
Who's currently in the Premiership relegation playoff spot?
St Johnston.
Who won Scottish League One this season?
Falkirk.
What colour was Clyde's home kit last season, or the season that's just finished?
White.
Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
What were you listening to there?
Oh, I want to dance with somebody.
Brilliant, what a tune.
I want to feel the heat with somebody.
I told you before, I think the Morton fans used to sing I Want to Dance with Jim Duffy.
No way.
Favourite football chants.
Yeah.
Just because he's one of our pals. Yeah, it might have been like two Morton fans rather. I don't know, I've just got this memory.
Doesn't matter.
Morton fans, tell me if that's true. Because if I've made it up, I'm worried about my own sort of mental state.
Stats. Okay.
Right, ready?
Go.
Your time starts now. Adam Ida is on loan from which club?
Norwich.
What club do Kenny Miller and Graham Shinney have in common?
Derby.
How many league titles has Brendan Rodgers won with Celtic?
Four. Three.
Who did Rangers play in their first Scottish Cup tie this season?
Pass.
Who's currently in the Premiership relegation playoff spot?
St Johnstone.
Who won Scottish League One this season?
Pass. Falkirk.
Clyde's
Falkirk.
Clyde's home kit is what colour in the season that's just finished?
White. Red.
Lewis, how did that go?
Mixed bag.
You know you're not getting pass.
What do you mean, Falkirk?
Yeah,
I'm getting that.
No,
100%. I didn't mean to say pass. I meant to say Falkirk.
Nope, you passed it.
See that outdoes me. If that outdoes me, Lewis.
Listen, I have to.
See, to be fair, I want Lewis to win.
It's the rules of the rules. It's your first answer. You know that. It's been the same for years. The rules have never changed. Anyway, Adam Ida's on loan from Norwich. Both got it. Kenny Miller and Graham Shinney have Derby County in common. 2-1 to Gordon DL. How many league titles has Brendan Rodgers won? It's three. You said four. I think Lewis did as well. He certainly got it wrong.
Well done, Lewis.
I got it wrong.
Yeah, I'm glad he got it wrong.
So still 2-1 to Gordon DL. I always think these ones are tough to recall. Rangers' first cup tie this season.
Morton?
Scottish Cup.
Here.
Dumbarton.
So
remember
it.
Night.
Oh, yeah.
4-1 win. So still Gordon DL leads by one. The Premiership relegation playoffs. But I sometimes wonder if people think I change the questions based on the fan that phones in, but genuinely all printed beforehand.
Oh, he must know that, yeah.
But like, I think he's the only St Johnstone fan that's came on, and it just so happens St Johnstone is the answer. So you still lead by one.
Oh, Falkirk!
Falkirk won Scottish League One.
I said something else here.
You said pass first.
He said Lou.
And he said Falkirk. So he pulls level with you.
What's the last question?
Clyde's home kit in the season that's just passed. You said white.
That's white.
Lewis said white.
But I said a wee touch of red.
It was red last season. I was surprised. I had to look it up because they're
because
they've released their strip for next season and it's white, and it's usually white, isn't it? Or it has been traditionally.
But I did say red.
Lewis has got a fan in the background. But you said
that you'd be nervous, Lewis.
I think I've got a fan downstairs or something.
You said you said white. It was red last season. So yeah, onto the tie breaker.
Falkirk. I should have tucked Lewis away there.
Pretty simple question. We've probably had it about five times on the tiebreaker on us.
Yellow cards.
I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Gordon to write his answer down, Lewis, and then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Okay.
You're close. How many red cards have been dished out in the Scottish Premiership this season? Write it down, please. Lewis, what are you... This is one of the best stupidest things I've ever seen from you. Before we even get out there, Lewis, how many red cards in the Premiership this season?
40.
Are you serious? Like genuinely?
Aye,
I know you've made a career.
I know what he saw. He saw the yellow card. It must be half of that.
Red cards.
I spend too much time with this guy.
I did.
Are you serious though? Think about it. Like, take last night as an example. There was nearly a full fixture card and there was none.
I went too much.
Too much?
I went 21.
For everyone that's in doubt, I just asked how many red cards have been dished out in the Premiership this season. The answer is 30.
Oh, 21.
Gordon DL has written 211. Are you serious?
That's how you've got to be good roommates.
I could read them like a book.
211 red cards this season.
I thought VAR and everything had been bad. And the referees come in. I tell you what, they don't use the referees.
Weeks for the maniacs.
Are we talking about managers as well?
What would that matter?
Well, there have been a few, have they?
What would that even mean? How many games have we played this season? That is one of the worst things I've heard from you. And I've heard some bad stuff coming out of that mouth.
I went, right, okay, yeah.
Well done,
Lewis.
The easiest win on the tiebreaker all season. Leave us with this. How confident are you you can pull off the the unlikely at the weekend and escape the relegation playoffs?
I'm confident. I think we can do it.
Yeah, be neat. It's now not in your hands.
Yeah, but I think we'll dig it out. I think we'll get a result. And I think Ross County won't beat Aberdeen.
Fair enough.
Oh, well done,
Lewis. The Steelmen will have other ideas, I'm sure, Gordon DL, because they want to finish on a high after disappointment last night. Oh. Had been scoring for fun.
Yeah, but I couldn't believe the stat that full season, 3 clean sheets, Motherwell.
I can believe that.
Scoring goals for fun. St Johnston seemed to pull out a result now and again away from home, but I think it'll be very tight. Ross County are not bad at home, but Aberdeen were excellent last night. I know they were playing Livingston, who already had gone, but they could have scored a lot more. I still think that's in the balance.
No, not for me. I think, Lewis, I think you'll be in the playoffs. One, I can't see you getting a result, and two, I think Ross County will pick up points. And I thought you were fortunate to get an equaliser in the closing stages of the game last night. I thought Ross County could have wrapped it up before then.
We will see. We wish you well. The sign ball is yours anyway, Lewis. Well done.
Right, thanks very much. Well, cheers, guys.
Well done, Lewis.
200. Do you know what's funny about this? Do you know how many games have been played? 222. So you nearly got that bang on. If that had been the question.
One game.
So you think a red card in every
Almost
game
every
this
game.
Season?
I got it all wrong. I went down there. Because it's so quick, I thought, right, half the yellows.
I knew you were thinking that. I know your train of thought.
wasn't it?
No, it was awful. It was awful.
What did you say?
I would have said about 40. What was the answer?
30.
Do you know something? I'm not really too bored about that, right? Because I deserve everything I get. Why I didn't say Falkirk right away? Because I know
220 red cards.
No, no, 11. Don't start exaggerating the number. And plus the fact, the games aren't finished yet.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. It could be a very high chance for the weekend.
What are these referees doing? Show more red cards.
And you know what that means? Back level with Jim Duffy in second bottom.
Does it have a drop back down again?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. And by the way, great week for the listeners. Well done to you. It's the third win in a row for the listeners this week. I'm happy with that.
Did you get beaten Tuesday as well?
Aye.
Did you? Aye. Oh, what a bad week.
Mate, I'm the Livingston. Aye. I'm all over the place just now. But one thing about me is I'll always bounce back.
You're getting closer. 5-3 on Tuesday. Tiebreaker tonight.
I should have won tonight.
I agree.
Lewis won against a run of play. I made a bad error. I should have just... See, I watched the Chasers as well, and I've learned off of them, but...
Just pass if you don't know it?
No. Just take your time. Relax. And I knew...
Whose advice is that? What Chasers is
the
that?
The Vixen. I like the Vixen.
I'd debate you do.
Oh, I like the Vixen, yeah.
I could have chosen out of all the Chasers, the Vixen would be your favourite.
I would take the Vixen on.
Can we please go back to the phone lines where Mark is waiting? How's it going, Mark?
Really good. Can I just give a shout out to my wife and my wee kid, you know, like to Jewel and Gaia before I say anything, because it's just like they listen every single night. I don't listen that much, you know what I mean?
Thanks,
Mark.
Anyway, my main point, right, is that Rangers don't need a full rebuild. It's just there's some really good players, see, within the team. And I don't care what anybody says, Dessers and Danilo are forwards, right? They can score goals. It's a lot to do with the way that they... I don't know if the manager's getting the best of the players, is what I'm saying, right? And I think if we lose the Scottish Cup final, right, I feel that we should move on and bring Derek Prentice in.
Wow, this is interesting. Because
getting rid of manager.
I feel like most Celtic Rangers fans who get in touch say the players aren't good enough and the manager's doing quite a good job, so stick with him, get his own players. But you think
I don't agree.
He's not getting enough out of that group?
Yep, I believe that Derek McInnes would get more out of the players that are there. You mean, and see if he could bring somebody like Will Dennis. If we're going to sell Jack Butland, for example, right, maybe we'll get 7 million for Jack Butland. Okay, on a good day we will. Even more, it just depends who's interested, right? But Will Dennis is an incredible goalkeeper and he was so good for Kilmarnock this season. Armstrong, there's Kilmarnock, see if you brought in maybe 3 players and you're talking about your 1.5 million, see for Matt O'Reilly. Look at what's possible there in the Scottish League. We're signing somebody like some of the Kilmarnock players. And there's some really good players at Rangers, you know, like John Souter's good, a fine player. For me, I don't think it needs torn down.
Mark loves Kilmarnock. He wants the Kelly manager, goalkeeper, some of the others. And by the way, they've been brilliant. Derek McInnes has been good. Will Dennis has been good. But
basically, Derek McInnes, I feel that he could bring, like, what we've missed since, like, Walter was there. He's kind of like, you know, like when you've got kind of godchildren. He's kind of like Walter's godchild. You know what I mean? It's like he was there under the manager and he understands all that stuff. He knows, like, how to. And he's got, I know it seems odd to say, right, but he has got quite a good record against Celtic, even we are underperforming, like where he was with Aberdeen and that. And
listen, we've said it before, we're here for all theories. I don't know, Walter Smith, godchild, I don't know, I just,
next
it, all
to family
feels,
tree.
It all feels quite, it feels quite romantic, and as I said, that doesn't mean that they're right, I'm just basing it on I feel like the majority opinion out there is that Philippe Clement's worth sticking with. He's shown enough. He's not, clearly he's not excelled and he's not had a brilliant league season, but he's done enough to deserve the chance to build that team and have a look. But Mark actually thinks the other way. He says there's loads of good players at Rangers. Most Rangers fans who call up don't seem to agree with that.
No, and I would tend to agree with most of the Rangers fans who are calling up rather than Mark. Mark says he didn't even want a rebuild, but he's getting rid of the manager and he wants a good few Kilmarnock players in. So that's pretty much the start of a real build, because you bring a new manager in, you bring a new staff in, you bring a new staff in, you bring totally new ideas, different philosophy in how you play. What you've got to remember, Derek McInnes' stock is rising and he's a very good manager, top manager. I don't think he'll... Kelly fans don't know what he'd up, but I don't think he'll be at Kelly for the rest of his career, of course. I think he will go on to bigger and better things, if that's the national team or down south, another crack at that, maybe. He's already turned down the Rangers job, remember, when Rangers fans saw that it was a shoe and he would get it and we thought it might have been agreed. Apparently, he didn't want to take it at that time. Would he want it again in the future? Maybe. Would Rangers fans thank him for that? There's a train of thought that some Rangers and Celtic fans think, if you turn the job down, that's your big chance gone. So I don't know if everybody would agree with that. But
how big is the rebuild? I don't know what type of answer I'm looking for. I know people like to just pick a number of players. Mark doesn't think it's big. Other people seem to.
Yeah, I think it's big. Where I disagree with Mark is, right, I don't know how the Rangers manager's going to go, because I think the summer's massive for him. I think he's got to bring in the right players, the right type. I don't like the sort of football they're playing now, but I think that his hand's forced with that. But where I disagree with Mark,
what makes you say that, though? Because
certainly not. Oh, it's Mark.
What makes you say that, though? Because surely you try and play your style, and then
I know, but
if the players fall slightly short, I mean, he still would have the second best team in the league.
Yeah, but he goes up against Celtic in big games.
No, but you say this, right? That Rangers team plays direct against every team.
There's direct and there's direct. I thought Celtic played direct last night, but they still played terrific football.
Oh, okay, particularly direct. Yeah. The Rangers go long early against teams as well, though.
Yeah, but I don't think they've got the personnel for that.
To not
right?
do...
I don't think Rangers fans... I'll accept that. And the reason I'm going
I'm
to
just
say,
surprised that you... I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm surprised you're so sure, though, that day one of next season, Philippe Clement's Rangers team suddenly play different, like, differently.
I think they will, because I think he'll have different players in. And what I'm saying here is, and where I'm going to defend the Rangers manager is, I think that... I disagree with Martin, who says, oh, he doesn't get enough out of the players. I think he's got everything out of these players, because he inherited a team that Rangers fans were on here crying to get rid of 90% of them under Michael Beale. Weren't good enough, you know what I mean? Weren't fit for a jersey. He came in and he dragged them through into a title race and gave Rangers supporters hope, won a trophy. He's got a chance of finishing with a double. But I think what he'll do is, that's his squad he's looking at and thinking, this is the way I've got to play with these guys. This is what I've been left with. I think he will tear it all up. He'll bring his own players in. Then I think you've got to judge him. But I wouldn't let him go in the summer and replace him with Derek McInnes. I think you've got to give him a fair crack at the whip, see what happens in the Scottish Cup final, see what he's given in the summer. Because you look at some, like say, I like Cortes, and he's had a massive injury list as well. But I don't feel sorry for Rangers and Celtic when they get that. They've got so many players and so many quality players. But I just think he needs to get by the Scottish Cup final, clear out what he wants to clear out if he possibly can, get in what he wants, and then I think he will tweak the style of football he plays.
Tweak or completely rip up and do something entirely different? No, I think you've changed your language.
No,
now.
Because I think there's a way to play direct, but rather than just get the ball and hit diagonal balls, you can still play direct, playing through the middle of the park. Celtic were a masters of it last night, the way they played. They played through the middle of the park, but all of a sudden, the first pass was direct forward to Ida, and who blinked up the play and Celtic could go and play. They didn't just get the ball with Alistair Johnson and hit it to the wide areas and hope that Maeda or Forrest was going to win it and then pick up the second ball. There's a way to tweak your system and tweak your style of play. But now Clement's not get the players for that. So he's getting the best out of them under the system he thinks that the Rangers players are comfortable with. I think they will see a difference next year.
0141 951 1025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dieller are here on the usual number. You can tweet us as well, so get your thoughts over to us. Still plenty of time between now and 8 o'clock. Let's, before we go any further, get this question ready.
Full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Good question this. Thank you to Jerry for sending it in. It's very simple. You come up with the question, you email it to fulltime@clyde1.com, and we see if the pundits can come up with the answers to your question at the end of the show. So can you name the last 8 Scots to score in the Scottish Cup final for the winning side? So can you name the last 8 Scots to score in the Scottish Cup final for the winning side?
Ryan Jack.
Yes, well done.
Ryan Christie.
Yes.
Scott Wright.
Well done. That's 3. We'll leave it there. No more for now. We'll try and get them as the show progresses. That's an impressive start, though. I expected much worse from you two, quite frankly. Okay. But we're ticking along nicely. David is a Celtic fan. How did it feel last night, David?
Absolutely tremendous. The way that they played just obviously capped it. What's been going on over the past few weeks. Just watching Ultron come out in front of us last night. It just got me thinking about our transfer policy during the summer. It's obviously perceived that 4 times £8 million players is we need to up the level we spend. I just think this team's got the potential, as we've seen in the past couple of weeks, to be pretty special. Maybe if Brendan Rodgers could just convince Matt Riley, maybe even Rio Itati as well, to spend the next 1 or 2 years at Celtic. I mean, they're both very young, and they've both really just played really great this season. You know what I mean? Well, Rio maybe last season. And you know what I mean? If we can then add a few quality additions, and that's how I think Celtic's going to be able to compete in Europe, because if we just go and sell Matt Riley at the first opportunity when we can get 20 million for him, then it's almost impossible to get somebody that's going to be worth that straight away and for next season. So I just love Celtic to just put an not for sale sign on with Matt Riley's blessing and just see he's done nowhere. Wonder what the panel think about that.
I think most Celtic fans would like that. But it's difficult in this day and age, David, for players to subscribe to that. I think one thing that sits in Celtic's favour is this reformed Champions League, though. So if you're Matt O'Reilly and it isn't an Atletico Madrid, if it's a team who's not in this Champions League, perhaps there's an argument that Matt O'Reilly wants to be part of this new format. I think a lot of players will be interested to see how this pans out, this Champions League format. And perhaps he goes elsewhere. Or if it's a Premiership club in England who haven't qualified, then you might never get that chance. That could be the argument that sways him for another year. And the same goes for Hatate, but there's no doubt in my mind there's going to be bids coming in. I know everybody expects there to be bids, and sometimes it doesn't quite materialise, and maybe it didn't come in January for him, but I think Celtic will be preparing themselves to hear bids coming in for a couple of their players.
It's not easy, Gordon. He admitted that it did prove quite difficult in the immediate time after January to sort of refocus. Goes without saying, I think he's managed it when you look at the end of the season, but it's hard. You know, I take what Mark's saying, but ultimately, say it was still a big league, even if it is a team that's not in the Champions League, say it's one of the top leagues, one of the top teams in that league where the wages are 3-4 times what he's getting at Celtic. You know, it's just difficult. It's just the food chain.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Matt Riley's at Celtic to start next season. Yeah, because I think he's that good. I think that obviously he's finished the season in such a high as well. He did take that dip in form. I think the transfer speculation did get to him, but I would be very.
He's just smirking at me because he thinks that your voice is about to go
almost the same.
You almost had one of those Kermit the Frog moments again.
I'm talking, stop being rude.
No, when you coughed,
he's sitting just chuckling like a wee schoolboy.
I've seen him, then you started laughing as well.
You were an inch away from Kermit there again.
And then, come on, he was in full flow, he was making a good
point. So I do think, and I think you make good points, I think that it's a short career in football, as we all know. Matt O'Reilly's been brilliant for Celtic. It'd be great for everyone concerned if they could convince him for another year. But there'll be big clubs looking at Matt O'Reilly. Of that, there's no doubt. And we keep going back to it, Gordon. That's not to try and get him out of Celtic. That's just a compliment. That's just the way it is. The boy's been that good.
This is not a criticism of you, David, because there are many callers like you. I'm just wondering, is this just the expectation at Celtic? Is this because you win the title quite often? Why is it so many want to talk about what's next rather than kind of even enjoying the title win for a day?
I get that. Look, I'm just obviously was just listening to the caller earlier. I just agreed. It would just be so good to keep a team together. And it's the only way, really. It's just when we go into these Champions League groups, you've seen the results in the last few years. It's just humiliating. And you're always on a rebuild. Even when Celtic are winning title after title, you're always having to replace your best player or best two players sometimes. So it just would be nice, since we've got an elite manager who's obviously going to have a lot of sway at Celtic, if we could maybe just push the boundaries to keep these players for however they do it, maybe not even breaking the wage structure by incentivising them in the Champions League. I don't know.
How did you enjoy that title win, David? What was like special or different about this one? Is it all about that doubt that was in earlier?
Well, it's obviously more special because of the built-up hopes of rival fans, which in Glasgow makes it obviously all the more worthwhile, because you could just obviously feel and just everywhere, really, that the Rangers fans thought they were going to win the league. So obviously with Celtic coming back, I always felt we would. Even after the Hearts game, I always felt we would get our players back. But the way that we've played in the big games, home games in the Champions League, all the games near enough against Rangers, that game on Wednesday, just shows we do have a really good team, I think. And if we can build on it, I think it could do better than what it's been doing in Europe recently.
I wonder if that's going to... Well, I think it will. Brendan Rodgers has said it as much, Mark. Yes, taking the starting 11 to the next level is one thing, but actually just making sure that depth is back, that strength, because the injury thing which we've spoken about, Celtic had bad injuries in the sense that they were important players, Hatate, Carter Vickers, to name but a few, but it's not like they had 15 injuries, 12 injuries, 10 injuries. It was just more that one or two to key players, and then things changed a lot.
Yeah.
And Brendan Rodgers said as much. I've referenced it a couple of times this week. He said that in his first spell here, he went to Dubai, they played a training game, and the reserves beat the first team 5-0. And he spoke about Armstrong and Christie and guys that he had as sort of backup. And he basically was saying, I don't have that currently.
Yeah.
You know, if Hitati doesn't play, because he might get injured, that's football. Who replaces him? If Carter Vickers doesn't play, who replaces him? And that's only two players.
Yeah. And then you look at the other positions. I think Celtic have, you can look at themselves fortunate that they didn't get injuries. As somebody mentioned, the left back area, you know, Burnaby's by far at the door. If Greg Taylor had to pick up an injury this year, you're going, who else plays left back for Celtic? Alistair Johnson, Anthony Ralston's there, but you think they can strengthen that. So in those positions round the squad, you know, you're relying heavily on the guys who've done the job this time. He does need to bolster the squad. He needs to strengthen. That's going to be key to how far he can develop this group.
If Brendan Rodgers was in any doubt about how things don't stand still, this phone-in will put him right, because already it's, yep, title was good, but what's next? And there's nothing wrong with that, thanks to David. What about Al, who's on the line from a Rangers perspective? How are you, Al?
Hi, Gordon, Mark and Gordon. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks, Al. Did last night change anything, or did you have this title sort of written off anyway? How do you feel?
No, congratulations to Celtic for winning the league. They can have their fun, but I'm sure, hopefully it doesn't last longer than a week. But I think it was very tough. You know, the Parkhead game is going to be tough for us, but I think we lost at the Ibrox game. That was a game, for me, it was a must-win game, because then if we won that game, I think we would have kicked on to Ross County Dundee. A lot of us Rangers fans are blaming Ross County Dundee, but it was that Ibrox game that really put us off the game, and then a couple of delays on the Dundee game. But you know what? If we had won this league, we would not see the people over the cracks, because you don't learn anything from winning. It's by losing. You can look at the team. If we'd won, we'd be giving all these guys new contracts. I don't think we should give any players coming up for contract, which is six of them, any contracts. We've got four loan players coming in. I think we should keep about two of them. And then come on, we'll build this team, because I do believe in the manager. Because everybody's talking about, and I heard Mark was talking about Brendan being an elite manager. He's a good manager, but elite manager, he got Leicester relegated. He spent £30 million on the weekend. £30 million in the summer. None of those players started against Rangers. That's an Ange Postecoglou team. And then Ida was the only guy who came on last night. Apart from that, this is an Ange's team. So I don't think anybody's going to come in for O'Reilly, Hitari, Fuhasi. I think they're all going to be there next year. But we're going to get stronger, and hopefully next May, Brendan can come back and see us.
But if people came in for Matt O'Reilly in January and he's then finished the season very strongly, what makes you think they wouldn't come in again?
I don't know if anybody came in for him, Gordon, to be honest, because Celtic's transfer policy is anybody comes in, get rid of him. Jota was a great player, phenomenal player for them against us. We had nightmares, but they sold him because it's about the money, right? Because they are in a great financial position. But a lot of people getting carried away with the Champions League money. UEFA have already came out and said the increase will be 30% on average. Last year, Real Madrid, Liverpool never made over 100 million. So there's no way going from a sixth team Champions League to 18 Champions League, you're going to bring in double the money.
No, I don't think anyone's saying 100 million, but you are looking at that 50-60 bracket, I think, once you add on the ticket revenue that you sell in those Champions League games. So, right, a few bits in there. Al primarily wants to talk about Rangers, and he wouldn't offer any of the out-of-contract players a new deal, Gordon. That's Balogun, Barisic, Jack, Lundstrom, Roof. Those the ones you're referring to, Al?
Yeah, Balogun, who I like, but I think he's just age, right? And Jack, definitely not. It's time time for those guys to move on. They've been there for a long period of time. And Clement referenced that the reason that Rangers are not winning these games is because, obviously, you're playing against a team that is just as good as you or even a little bit better with the talent that they have. But our off-the-ball work is terrible. Our shape is all off when we go off the ball, so we don't work. Mm. There's no desire. So we have to bring in guys with legs, energy, and a will to win. And I don't think we have to spend millions and millions and millions, just like Mark says, but if you get the right guys, like O'Reilly, you know, like you get a decent guy in that's got confidence, I think we'll do better, for sure. But we have to give a manager the chance.
Well, I think Kamal Roof is guaranteed. He's gone. He's kind of said goodbye. Looked like Barisic was doing the same. The last time Philippe Clement spoke about it, it looked like there was an offer on the table for John Lundstrom, but it didn't look particularly likely that he would take it up. He's then had a fairly ropey couple of weeks. Any of them be here next season?
No, I agree with Al. I think it is a big rebuild. Be interesting to see what they do. I disagree with them.
Could you see a place for a 1 year for Leon Balogun? Be part of that.
Depend on the wages, Gordon. I think Balogun will probably be demanding big money. He's at that stage of his career. Look, if the wages were right, would it be worth having him as a squad player there? And he's a decent player, Balogun, but I just think that the Rangers manager will look for that freshness now. He'll get rid of a lot of players. He's got that six out of contract. I don't think any of them will be there. He'll be looking to move one or two others on as well. Because, as you say, he's got to hit the ground running next season. He's got a massive job ahead of him. He's got one or two good players in there that he can build on right from the back if he keeps Butland, who's a terrific goalkeeper. And then he's got one or two others, and then he'll start to bring in his own type of player. And as I keep going back to his own brand of football, and it'll be interesting to see how he does. But I disagree with Al. I think that Matt O'Reilly is certainly a player that there'll be a lot of clubs queuing up to take.
We'll leave it there because we're running late. Thanks to Al calling from Alberta, Canada, of all places. That's why he slipped into the currency.
Accents of sporting there.
Right. Can you name the last eight Scots to score for the winning team in a Scottish Cup final? Ryan Jack, Scott Wright, Ryan Christie.
He's got a good one.
Rooney.
Stephen Roy's got good ones on Twitter.
Rooney. Yeah.
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Wayne.
Big Adam.
Aye.
Adam Rooney.
Your mate, Rooney.
Adam Rooney's Irish.
I know Adam Rooney.
Who did
Adam
you
Rooney.
Oh, Sean.
Signed for St Mirren.
Has
he signed for St Mirren?
Yeah.
Great player.
Yeah.
Always
signed.
Been a big fan.
Signed today.
He's a bit closer to home now.
I love
you,
Sean.
You lock your doors at night.
He's on the list as
right,
well.
I don't know if, is he Scottish? Please tell me he was born in the south end of Edinburgh. David Gray.
What? Sir David Gray is the
call. David Gray. Yes.
We'll leave it there. You've only got three to get. And before we go any further, let me tell you about this, because it is an unbelievable prize. Get the phone out right now. Text, if you're a Celtic fan, text Celtic to 84901. If you're a Rangers fan, text Rangers to 84901. We've got VIP tickets for both ends for the Scottish Cup final. It's silver debenture seats, basically some of the best seats in the house, lounge access in the main stand, and all you need to do is send that text. You enter the raffle, you give a £10 donation to Cash for Kids, which will go straight back to children that need it, every single penny, and you could be off to the cup final with some of the best seats in the house. It is a no-brainer. The text costs one standard network rate message, plus that voluntary £10 donation, every penny back to Cash for Kids. The lines close at 8 p.m. Wednesday the 22nd of May. It's over 18s only. Full T's and C's. Go to Clyde1.com. So if you want Rangers tickets, text Rangers to 84901. And Celtic fans, if you want to go, text Celtic to 84901. Good luck.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. I've had a message in from our colleague Andy Halliday. You know, he's busy with his coaching academy.
Yeah,
he's got at the
yeah.
moment. He's very passionate about it.
Got one of my players in there.
So he does.
Don't ruin him.
It's because he's not getting enough good coaching at Partick Thistle. He feels he needs to do some extra work.
I said, get Andy in the business.
He needs
he's found out that he's girls aged 9 to 11 group are avid Super Scoreboard listeners. I don't know why he's acting surprised at this.
Yeah.
People have got good taste. Speaking of which, by the way, this does genuinely surprise me. Sort of like humble, like, if I'm being sort of serious and nice about it, it humbles me. If I'm being blasé about it, I just sort of laugh at how popular you and your colleagues are. Because actually this radio station and this show got its latest set of listening figures, official radio listening figures today. And oof, genuinely astronomical, through the roof.
Aye.
Like,
is it?
So many people.
So when the wave rises,
you've got this is why you two are naive. This is partly why I don't like to brag about them, because see if that's the case.
Yeah,
we take a dock in wages if they go down.
100%.
No, never go down. As long as we're about, Gordon. Yeah. That's the wrong mindset. They're always going to go up.
Loosely based, this radio station highest in 22 years.
Really?
I'm not getting into specifics because people don't care.
You think of the competition out there as well, but we are still smashing it.
Genuinely,
so smart.
No, that's
speaking for you.
It's not a brag thing. It's a thank you. Really, yeah, like that's
well
incredible.
To the listeners,
very
there.
Humble. Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
I'm very humble as well. Yeah, thank you.
You are the least humble person that I've ever met in my life.
Very humble indeed.
It is remarkable. So yeah, thank you very much.
What else would you?
Many people watches. What's the figures in that?
Oh, listen, you've put a few people off your dinner, I think, since the start.
I watch you guys when I'm having my dinner sometimes.
No way.
I have to say, well, you, Gordon DL during the break took one look at the monitor, turned to Mark Wilson, and you know, think about how friendly these two are, and said, "That colour doesn't suit you. You look like you need a good feed."
I know.
So he used to slag you for being over.
Look at the state of him. Put that back. He was saying last year how fat I was and how I was disgusting.
So I lost a bit of weight, and he's saying I need a good feed.
You do it lately.
Stop body shaming, Mark.
What do you want me to look like? Right, draw it on your page what you want me to look like, and I'll try and.
One, the colour doesn't suit you. Right?
It's green because Celtic won the league. I went for the green t-shirt.
It doesn't go well. Enough. And you look skimpy in it.
I never want to hear you describe me as skimpy.
I'll get a good feed in Germany.
Oh dear.
Right, I can't wait.
Stop, because we're running out of time and I want to take this call. It looks interesting. John is a Raith Rovers fan.
This'll be good.
How's it going, John?
I'm good, yes. I'm very good, guys. Yep. I'm looking forward to the second leg tomorrow. And we've got an added bonus that we've got Gordon DL coming along to the game. So that's
big hospitality star tomorrow, isn't he?
Yeah, he's coming to do, coming to back to where he's loved.
John,
this is disgusting.
It's quite funny as well because Mark Wilson must have a bit of thing about hanging about Raith Rovers legends because. I spoke to Craig Dargo the other night while Mark was sitting next to him at the game. I'd like to know what Mark thought of the Rovers the other night.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Craig played with.
Yeah, well, Craig
and you are employed by.
Coincidentally, Craig told me that he was asked to go up and do the lounges, but he rejected it. And so they must have went for somebody else. You must be saying choice.
That's certainly not the case because it was myself that asked Mr. DL to come along.
John, what do you think of these Rovers?
Joking aside, I thought in the first half on Tuesday night, I thought we played some brilliant football. The passing and movement was tremendous. We stretched Park Thistle at the back. We had Brian Graham running doggies back and forward. I'm not sure that he'll be in any fit state.
You don't want to write off the league's top scorer. Mm. I didn't realise, John, that we were...
Because he's a Rovers goal scorer legend as well.
He's not, but by the sounds of it. It sounds like there's quite a few. I didn't actually realise how close we were to the end. Are you looking forward to your hospitality appearance tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going up and meeting everybody.
Someone on Twitter invited me because I sarcastically tweeted about you going up last night, but obviously...
Come up and see how the King's received.
Oh, jeez.
That's disturbing.
Your employer's going to do it.
Listen, John's, it's going to be another tight game. Raith Rovers, yeah, were good on the night. I thought they got the first half right, scored a couple of good goals from their point of view. They've got good players, but it's tight. You don't want to write off Partick Thistle, Brian Graham, player of the year. It's still in the balance.
Enjoy your night tomorrow, John. Let's finish off this question. You've got 3 of the last 8 Scots to score in a Scottish Cup final for the winning side. We're nearly out of time tonight. Ryan Jack, Scott Wright, Sean Rooney, Ryan Christie, David Gray.
Griffiths won.
Yes.
We'll go Armstrong.
Yes.
It must be McGregor or Forrest.
Well, which one?
Forrest.
No.
McGregor.
Callum. Is that McGregor.
It? Is that the
eight? That's it. Done.
Oh, that was easy. Get John back.
Let's get it here.
You hear that? The music started already. Go on then, final reflections on Celtic being champions, Mark, before we move on.
Well, just a terrific achievement after everything that went on, with Ange Postecoglou going, Brendan Rodgers coming in, the stick he had to put up with, the ups and downs of the season, but to finish it off with a performance like that, a fitting way to win the title. Celtic fans will look forward to Trophy Day. However, they've still got one big one to go, the Cup Final, a week on Saturday. Huge end to the season ahead still.
What a popular duo I've got for you tomorrow night. Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans. I'm desperate to know their thoughts on this week. So give us a call on 01419511025 from 6 o'clock. In the meantime, just stay right there. We've got you covered for the rest of the night. Enjoy your Thursday and we'll speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.